I wish that PowerPoint was up there because I could refer to what we actually did when we were down there. We did five pads. These are concrete pads. In the upper structure, we did four of the upper structures. You'll see that later when the PowerPoint comes up. Now, the fifth structure was done when we got, not necessarily home, but it was done after we left. Way back in, August, September sometime, Megan came to me and asked if I would go down, or probably be Brian and I go down, and we do these display structures. I didn't really answer her right there, but I said, yeah, we could work something in, and maybe we could do something. And in the meantime, as time went on, the church got involved here, and they decided they were going to send a team down. And I said, well, and it had gone on to November or so, and my other guy was after me too to make a decision, because he wanted me to go to Mexico. And I went to the church, I went to Barry probably and Brian, and said, how well are you organized? Have you got this thing together, or is it going to go, or is it not going to go? And they were seen to be still well unorganized. So I made the decision, I went to Tuxpan, Mexico in February. And when I got back, I approached them again, or they approached me, actually. Would you like to go to the DR? And I said, well, okay, well. Anyway, as time went on, I found out they were well organized. They had things together. So I made a decision to go. And, of course, they put me in charge of the construction part. And I did go to Tuxpan, Mexico, and got back from that. And this is would be my second trip now to Brian here. Now we're going to talk about him. Thankful to Brian. Brian and Mark went down a little bit early, back up a little bit. Megan and I got together and I drew up a plan of the thing, of the displays that she wanted. She okayed them. I made up a material list, and I give it to Brian because they were going down a little early. And Brian he put most of the stuff together before we got there, because I wanted to be organized before we got there. I didn't want to get down there and have to sit around and because things weren't there. I'm not used to that doing my work. And he did it well. He got everything together except for some metal saddles. And they did not have metal saddles in the DR. Megan, the very first day, the Saturday morning, had what she called an Iron Man. He came in, and I just explained to him what we needed, what we could come up with. And he came up with these angle irons, and they were fine. And I said, well, we need 16 of them because we got to pour at least two of these pads. And he came up with 16 within a day, and we got the two pads. And he got the rest of them later on. So things went well that way, and we got the pads poured. We got four of the structures put up. Ernst. I'm glad Ernst was there, because he could take off some of the pressure of me. I explained to him how we wanted to do the work, how we wanted to construct. Ernst could come along. He could take off a bunch of guys over here and work, and I could go over there and take a bunch of guys, and I could work over there. So thank you. It took the pressure off of me a lot. Our roofers, Duck Sue here and Clinton were our roofers. And they did the upper structures, and they put the steel on. And I can still see them standing in that steel. And, I mean, it's 35 degrees, and that sun is just blazing down in the steel, and they're just up in their face. And I've done it before, so I know how they were feeling. One thing they never did learn, they never learned how to square a roof. Every time I had to show them how to square a roof. Sylvia, I'm going to talk about Sylvia here now. Sylvia was our Band-Aid lady. And every time she'd see a little blood, you know, she'd sit in there with a Band-Aid. And of course, we're sweating something fierce, and we got suntan lotion on. Of course, the Band-Aids would never stick, so. But we did have good safety. We had no injuries, no serious injuries. We got down there okay. We got home okay. And all the time we were working, there was no injuries. We took down a couple of power saws, and I could still see some of the guys wanting to run these power saws. And not only would there be the guy running the power saw, there'd be at least a half a dozen kids around it. And I thought, oh man, just looking at that and I'm thinking, somebody's going to lose a finger. Because they were very awkward how they were running these power saws. So nothing happened, no injuries at all, except for Duck Sue here. Duck Sue, he happened to get mowed down by a cement mixer.
It's okay.
Anyway, Nicole down here, she was our cement mixer. I can still see Nicole. I'd go over to Nicole and I said, this is how you got to put in so much gravel, you got to put in so much sand, you got to put in so much Portland, you got to, you know, add the water. And the mixes were coming out terrible. I mean, they were just sloppy. And Nicole would always have at least a half a dozen guys around her. I was referring to her. She was trying to refer to them. But it turned out well. Once we got about the fifth or sixth pad, the mixes were coming out real good. Nicole, we had a good time down there. We enjoyed ourselves. We had a good sessions together, Bible study sessions. We had prayer time together. And we took a little time off to do a bit of work. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
If you take a look at your bulletin and you see at the top of the map of the Dominican Republic, you see Puerto Plata. And if you look at Plata and you see the first A, that's approximately where Ascension is in the Dominican Republic. So that's where we were. It was a true privilege and an honor to serve with my team. They were amazing, very encouraging. I had a great time. And the Lord was there with us. And I truly have many fond memories of each member of the team that was there in the Dominican Republic. So I thank them for their support. And yes, my leg's still intact. I think Barry mentioned it earlier on in the service. I didn't break anything. And fortunately, the Lord was watching out for me. The piece of wood that I was using to carry the cement mixer actually hit my leg. But it hit the sort of meatier part of my leg. So it was just a bruise. And then Sylvia came along with all these bandages. She forgot to use the gauze before she put the tape on. So one evening, I think most of my team must have heard me yelling and screaming, trying to take that tape off for the next day to work. Joking aside, I would like for you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And this is a verse that struck me when I read it before I went on to the trip to the Dominican. And let's read this verse together. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And the reason why this struck me most was the hope section of this verse. People in Ascension do have hope. They have a future. But they need help. And they needed our assistance for this one small project. But they do need more. They need our prayers. Because they do have a very difficult situation in Ascension, because these are people that don't have proper papers. They don't have a home, really, because they've been put into a village and segregated from the rest of the Dominican Republic. So it's difficult to get an education, difficult to get a job, and very difficult to think about having a future. But having people come and assist them and help them and show them that there is a way, which is their Lord and Savior, really does make a big difference to them. For example, today, the service in Ascension starts at 9 o'clock and ends at 12 o'clock. So that's a three-hour service. That shows you how dedicated they are to their Lord and Savior. And I take that lesson wholeheartedly because we should be honoring our Lord more and more each and every day because He gives us so much and blesses us with many gifts. But I ask all of you to remember that we can return those gifts to these people in Ascension by, again, praying. And if you do have the ability to go on a trip to Ascension, because it's very important for you to understand that there are needy people around the world, outside our doors, that need our help. And each and every day we can help those people. I also represent two families that took three generations on this trip. So I would like Ernst, Bridget, Stephen, Wilma, Vivian to stand up. Please stand up. So these are the two families, the Gesslers and the Changs, that went down with three generations. And it was a pleasure and an honor to show the people that we have great families and great support. Thank you very much for standing up. I'd also like my wife, Catherine, Olivia, where did Genevieve go? Oh, she's in the back. I was going to talk about Genevieve. But Genevieve was the one who stirred me up to go on this trip, not Vivian. Unfortunately, Genevieve was too young to go on this trip, but yet she stirred me up so much that she stirred her sister up to go on this mission trip. And I hope she comes back soon. I wanted to just honor her for getting me all excited about going to Ascension. The other thing I'd like to mention are the people that I met in Ascension. Oh, there she is. I was talking about you, Genevieve. So there's my middle daughter, Genevieve. And Genevieve, one day I promise that we will go on a missions trip together in the future. Again, I'd like to mention some of the people that I met on this trip to the Dominican. There's a gentleman named Sunil. And Sunil was responsible for all the tools that we used when we worked. And the first day we got to the site, he took me into his house. And guess what I found inside his house? A motorcycle. I couldn't figure it out. Well, he was lending his house to somebody else to store the motorcycle. But also he used his house to store all our tools. And every morning we came onto that site, he had the tools out ready for us, ready to go. But the thing that I will remember for the rest of my life is the fact that Sunil looks after the children when the parents go out to find work. And I asked him every day, is this your son? He says, no, this is not my son. This is somebody I look after. Again, next day, another child comes up. Sunil, is this your son? No, this is another child I look after. So I took that as a big lesson. So all the men in the congregation today and in church today, as the saying goes, it takes a community to raise a child. Sunil lives this every day. It takes a lot of good men to raise children. And Sunil was proof of that. And he taught me a huge lesson, which is, when children don't have that father figure in their life, other men need to step up and be that father figure in their lives. And it's a big help to the children in Ascension because these children look up to Sunil, and Sunil takes this responsibility wholeheartedly and does it in a loving and gentle and respectful manner. And that truly will leave a lasting impression on me. The other person that left an impact on me, We had two translators, Mario and Sandy. And Sandy gave me a nickname. It could be because he couldn't pronounce my name, or it could be because I was doing things a little bit different on the site. Do you know the name that he gave me? My team. So does anybody know what loco-loco means? Crazy, crazy. That was my name during the whole time I was there in Ascension. Now, I believe he gave it to me for a reason. It was because he saw something different in me, and I hope this was the fact, that I tried to do things differently. I tried to put aside my anxiety, my fears, my nervousness, to show the love that Jesus showed me. And so I embraced a lot of people. I don't hug a lot, but on this trip I hugged a lot of people, and I think my team members saw that. And I shook a lot of hands too. And again, they really opened their hearts to us, and I truly am thankful that the people in Ascension have such big hearts. So once again, if you do have an opportunity to go on a missions trip, remember, these people need you, and they need your help, but also they need your love. So thank you very much.
First up, I'd like to say I had a great time with all my team members on the trip, and that I enjoyed getting to know you so well. I'd also like to thank the congregation for all their support and contributions that made this trip possible. Going to the Dominican Republic has changed my life in more ways than I expected. The perspective of life back here in Canada has changed by making me more appreciative of the things I have at home and made me more open to giving. The community of Ascension has shown me that you don't need wealth to be happy. The trip also gave me a desire to serve God through helping people in need by being a more gracious giver and maybe going on another mission trip in the near future. Thank you.
So one thing we were asked to do in the Dominican was sing a song during church. And so we decided to come up with kind of a little more of a rowdier song maybe, because we also found out there that they, Christians in the DR, believe that the only appropriate place for you to dance is in church. So we're going to show you that this morning. Right, Sylvia? So here we go. Let's do this, right?
I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Takes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Bring out the well. Within my soul, bring out the well. And make me more.
your name. The mountains shake and crumble.
This trip was special for me because I had a chance to see Megan at work. I taught Megan in grade 2 a few years ago, and she also did her high school co-op in my classroom. In Ascension, the English program helped me to get to know some of the people. Omar took me to his house, where I met his wife and baby Jennifer, and his brother. Pastor Alfredo even gave me a short motorcycle ride. I thought Whiteville roads were rough.
The highlight of my trip is to see the hand of the Lord orchestrating the ministry, not only of our team, but the cooperation with Samaritan's Foundation, International Needs, and others to help both Haitians and Dominicans by providing housing, helping them to receive an education, and leading them to respond to Jesus as Savior and Lord.
Creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice.
Some of the most memorable moments for me involved a little girl named Jennifer. She was about 1.5 years old and just appeared to be really hungry for affection. And there were about 3 times in the village that I was able to hold and to cuddle her. And the last day we were there and did a craft, she was on my lap finishing her craft, and I praised her for the work she had done. She had this big beaming smile on her face, and it just felt to me like there is hope for children like her because of all of the ministries like Megan and Travis do in the Village of Ascension.
Praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing.
My highlight of the Dominican missions trip was meeting a little boy named Ali and teaching him my name and how to spell it. Ali initially thought the hyphen was a minus, so my name was Duck Minus Sue. So I had to explain that the hyphen was part of my name. He had never seen a hyphen before. So it was quite interesting learning his name and me teaching my name to Ali.
I think my highlight of the trip would probably be distributing all of the school supplies with the group, just seeing the look on the kids' faces and how thrilled they were to receive it, as kind of it was just a treat like my sister's on Christmas. It was great.
We were able to get an amazing deal on 2 skill saws. They were factory conditioned, and a reciprocating saw, all for under $100. It was absolutely amazing. And I just had a great time teaching the men and a lot of the young guys just how to use the power equipment. They have generators there, but no power equipment. And I just had a great time, you know, coaching them and how to cut a straight line without burning the saw blade off. It was amazing.
The highlight for me in going to the Dominican Republic was as we entered Ascension Village for the very first time. The people came running, little children were thrown into our arms, And the adults hugged, and you knew that they were so pleased to have us there. You knew that it was, they love the Lord. They have nothing materially, but you knew that they had so much by the smiles on their faces.
The thing that shocked me the most probably was public nudity. The fact that they couldn't afford the clothes that we can afford on an everyday basis. Like, we rip our clothes, we go buy a new one. They rip their clothes, they have to wear it for the next year. Most kids don't even have clothes that fit them.
So the part that stuck out for me most was that all the people there made so many things out of the little that they had, like the tin art things, and those were just amazing. And it just showed me that you don't really need all the stuff that we have here to be happy.
This trip has given me a greater appreciation for Megan and Travis, are accomplishing it in their work with these people. They work tirelessly to give these people hope, to teach them life skills, and to improve their way of life. They not only minister to their physical needs, but also to their spiritual needs. The people are responding with their respect and love for these two. The love of God is not just being talked about, but is being demonstrated through Travis and Megan.
And I wanna be the moon. I wanna reflect the light that's...
My impression of the trip. When I reflect on my experience, I can say it was a wearisome traveling to a different part of the world and meeting so many new people. We were there to minister to others, but it was a blessing and very meaningful experience for me. I reference to Psalms 27 and say, I felt blessed to bless others. Whatever we gave to them, they share with each other. I was most impressed to see that the individual who lived there appeared to be content despite their limitation, source, water, food, etc. They shared basic things with each other. It looked to me as if they felt safe in their surrounding. They were protective of one another. It seemed as though it did not matter whose child it was. Each one was cared for as their own. They were supportive and concerned about each other. Being there, I gained a lot, including lasting memory and first-hand knowledge about a different culture. The people show humility, gratitude to us, how to serve with whatsoever they had, and up to rise up and take action to change and improve their lives.
I want to show my love in a thousand ways. God, I want to let you know I love everything you are.
One of the older English students, Omar, invited Evelyn and I to his home to meet his wife and new baby. The place they lived in was a room about 12 foot by 12 foot divided into two. There was no door between, just a narrow opening. They made us most welcome and dressed up the little girls so we could take their pictures. Omar was doing quite well in the English class, and we had an opportunity to talk with him and encourage him, especially now that he was a new father.
I can't live a single day without you.
and I really like swimming, being with the kids, and having fun with Megan and Travis, and being there with everybody, and walking around and getting drinks and having a great time.
This was my fifth time visiting Ascension Village. My favorite part of every trip is the people. Each time I go, I meet new people, as well as deepen old friendships. I also love to see the children growing up. Each time I'm there, the kids run up to me to tell me how old they are now and to brag about how much bigger they are. The people in the village like to tease me, calling me Shuba de Fe, which means hair of fire in Creole. But at the end of this trip, I got the ultimate compliment. I walked by some guys and they called out to me, "Hey, Haitian girl." I know I've made it now. I'm honored to count these people among my friends.
If you are the sun, then I wanna be the moon. I wanna reflect the light that shines from you.
One highlight of our mission trip to the Dominican Republic was seeing how excited our helpers in Ascension Village got over the power tools we were using, which was something we all thought was a very normal thing on the job site. They were very eager to learn how to use tools like the skill saw, and after Mr. Murphy taught them how, they were nearly experts. They wanted to use their new skill that they had learned as much as they could. So whenever we needed wood cut, there was a group of people begging to do it for us. It was amazing to see how our group contributed to teaching them a skill that they could use for a long time, benefiting the community around them.
You made a way for me. Jesus,
it was really great that Graham's dad, Ernst Gessler, was able to join us. He was impressed that there were multiple organizations working for common purposes in Ascension, God's purposes. They all worked so well together, which creates a sense of unity in God's work.
Morning, the children could come up to the front here. We have a song. We sang this song in the we sang it in the church down there for the kids, didn't we?
Yes,
we did. And some of our children might know it as well, but they'll be up here. So here we go.
Remember we talked about those hours there in the Dominican church? That's what you're going to experience this morning too. All right, I know a lot of you guys know this song. Who here knows the song, Who's the King of the Jungle? All right, yeah. Okay. Oh, and wait, so I can see the action. Great. On in the way here, sorry.
Who's the King of the Jungle? Who's the King of the Sea? Bye, bye, bye.
Our Heavenly Fathers, the children leave. We just pray that they will be excited over the message that has been given today and look forward at one of these days to be going on a trip to do your work in some other part of the universe. But we just pray for their time downstairs, pray for their leaders, and ask a special blessing on them today. Amen.
Hi, so now we're going to have another set of testimonies.
Evelyn, Marg, Nicole, Bridget, and Sylvia, please come.
You're waiting? Okay. My assignment when I went to the Dominican was to help with the formal English program. First, I would like to say that all of the team members helped the people of Ascension with English as they worked with them or played with the children. English is taught in the schools, and a lot of the younger people know a lot of English. Narita, my 5-year-old little friend who spent a lot of time with me, is a good example. One day we were watching some of the team mixing cement, and I was explaining to her what was happening, and she was repeating my explanation. By hearing English and repeating the words, it gets easier to learn. In the formal English program, there are 120 students registered, and this includes children and adults. The classroom has 9 computers, where each student spends an hour at a time doing their own program. The program is sponsored by the Foundation for Children in Need, and the money comes from the United States. Jimmy and Bonnie run the program from 9 in the morning to 7, with a couple hours off at noon. Jimmy is the administrator and keeps everything organized in file folders for each student. They both sit with the students while they are on the computer, making sure that they are saying English words properly and aloud. Everyone is hooked up to an earphone, therefore it wasn't too noisy. They were doing word families, verbs, nouns, plurals, etc. Then Boney would take them into another room where he reinforced oral English, and this was my job while I was there. Wilma was a great help, but wouldn't stand up here with me every day, and some of the other team members helped when they had a spare moment. In this setting, we would talk about such things as the weather, families, and feelings, and if possible, I would try to incorporate something that they had been doing on the computer. We always had at least one action song, such as If You're Happy and You Know It, Clap Your Hands, which they really enjoyed. At first, Boney tried to repeat everything in Creole that I said until I explained that the students didn't have to try to understand English if he kept doing that. Soon, Boney was saying that the students were speaking a lot more English with me than with him, and then I knew that my job was to give Boney some tools to help him with the students. I tried to leave him with lots of ideas, since I'm not sure how much training he has had. After I retired from teaching, I taught English to adults for several years, and I know that they will try harder if they have something fun and feel safe in the environment. I was impressed with a sign hanging in the computer room which read, "Attention, please, only English and love spoken here. Give it a try. It doesn't hurt, we promise." I should also mention that they have a lot of English materials like books, flashcards to help any age. Like all children, they really enjoy having a story read to them. In our adult class, Wilma and I got to know the students better because they had more English. I would just like to talk briefly about two of them. You've already heard a little bit about Omar and Pastor Alfredo. Omar was working as a motorcycle taxi driver, in a neighboring town when he got palsy. He has been healed but has not started to work again and now has a wife and baby to look after. You saw their pictures. Megan told us his story and Wilma and I had a chance to talk to him and encourage him. Hopefully, his motorcycle will leave the inside of his house and he will be providing for his family again. Pastor Alfredo has a small congregation of 14 His wife died 3 years ago of a fever, and he has two children to look after, including the cooking and the washing. He asked if we had any French Bibles. I plan to get some for him and send them to Ascension with a team in the summer or with Nicole on her next trip in the fall. He's the one who gave me the motorcycle ride. On the last day of teaching, as part of our farewell, Wilma and I had a chance to talk to our students about Jesus and his love for them. We told them how to ask Jesus into their heart and that someday we would like to see them in heaven if we didn't get back to Ascension. We also promised to continue to pray for them. Pastor Alfredo asked us to pray for him and his work, which we did. Now I know why Megan loves her work so much with the people of Ascension. She shows her love to the community as she tries to make their lives easier and fights for them to become citizens of the Dominican Republic. They are warm, friendly people, even though they have so little. From the moment we arrived in Ascension, we had children holding our hands, smiling at us, and wanting to be held. We showed them our love, and they showed us their love. It was hard to hear one of the students say that she was sad when she was hungry. It was sad to see the children that can't go to school because there is no money for a uniform, and schooling is the only hope for those people. On our last night, Travis challenged us to reflect on our experiences and give another 10% to missions. I challenge you to think about that. In Canada, we have so much and get so many of our wants as well as our needs. Could you help the people of Ascension or somewhere else with one of their needs? As I was preparing this speech, my Bible study notes were talking about the love of Jesus. Romans 5:5 says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. He did not pour out that love sparingly, for John wrote, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. 1 John 4:8. Also, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. God loved us this much, therefore we should love others the same. God's consistent message is echoed by Paul when he says, owe no man anything but to love one another. Romans 13:8. I love the people in Ascension, and the Lord willing, I hope to return in the future and share with them again. Thanks for letting me go as your representative.
When Megan phoned me before we were going down, she says, I've got just the job for you. She said, you need to teach Rosario, one of the women there, how to cook. And she said she's really good on chicken, rice, and beans, but that's her limit. And Megan wanted to introduce her into the mission house, that she would be the cook there, thus being able to make a wage and support her family. So as I was going down a week earlier, that's what I did. I worked with Rosario, and we learned how to make macaroni and shepherd's pie. And so it was most interesting, and we had a good time together. Another job for some of us was doing crafts with the children. What a wonderful privilege it was to see the excitement. Megan said that usually when people say they're going to do crafts with the children, they bring out the crayons and the coloring books, and that's the extent of it. So these children got a little wild when they found, and you may have seen some pictures of them there, doing something a little different. And so it was so much fun to work with these kids, and Nicole's going to tell you a little bit more.
So, yeah, the crafts were insane, but it was really nice because you can see that they're just so happy to have something to do and something to make. And we saw that, well, everyone saw that firsthand when I think it was a little girl, a couple of little girls, brought her to their house to show where they'd put their craft. And I know you could tell the story a lot better than I could. But just the fact that they were so excited and they had a special place for it. And I mean, compare that to here, where, you know, if you have children or grandchildren, they bring home a little craft, and, you know, it's nice, you put it on the fridge or on a shelf, and then that's the end of it, right? But there, it's so much more. It's so much of a bigger deal, and it's such a blessing to them just to have a little pipe cleaner with beads or some sort of little animal thing. And yeah, it was just amazing to see.
We had three crafts that we had chosen to do, and the first one was making caterpillars out of tissue paper and other things. And I said to Megan, well, how many can we expect? And she says, well, it all depends how you advertise. If you let them know a day ahead of time, you could have a few hundred. If we just let them know, tell a few kids as we enter the village, then word will gradually spread, and you'll gradually get more and more coming, and you could end up with 40 or 50. Well, that I thought we could manage. So that's the way we handled it. The second time was making, they went out and found rocks, and they painted them, and I think there were a few pictures of that. And yes, some of the rocks got painted, but there was lovely artwork on the walls. So we spent a lot of time cleaning up afterwards. And then the third project was making little animals out of what are called pony beads. And I've got to tell you, what was most interesting was whenever someone had a spare second, they wouldn't go and relax like I did. They would go and find out where else they could help. So Pastor Barry appeared when we were in the middle of making these zebras. Oh, can I help? And I said, we had a lineup of people waiting to get there, and it ended up with tiny babies. We were making them for them, of course, but the mothers wanted them. And so I said to Pastor Barry, well, okay, here's the sample, and here are the beads, go for it. This was the saddest looking zebra I have ever seen. It ended up without a body. It had an extra long neck. But the baby loved it, was so excited.
So to connect also to the crafts, the thing that I think stood out the most for me for the entire trip was during the last craft that we made, the one with the beads and the animals. So I was at the table where we were making giraffes, and you know, you had the little styrofoam head and the pipe cleaners, and you had to put the beads on and glue the little something at the back of the head. I don't know what it was. At first, I wasn't really sure how they would be able to do it if I couldn't communicate with them and tell them, okay, you put this here, do this, do that. And, I mean, they were like, they were maybe like between the ages of 3 to 10. So I don't know, it was just a wide range. And I thought it was so amazing how I could just point and they would understand. I could just put and do like a little example bead, just put the bead on and I'd point up until here and they would just understand and they would just do it. And just especially, there was this one little boy, and I don't even know his name or how old he was, but he was just there doing his craft, and I don't know why it stood out from all the others, but I just did the same thing. It pointed here, the beads up till here, put the arms on, and he just understood and just did it, and that really reminded me of how God understands all languages. He understands everything. He knows our thoughts. He knows the next words that I'm going to say, the next things that you're going to say. And it reminds me of how, you know, in heaven, we'll all understand each other, even though we speak different languages. And that's just amazing. And that just kind of, that I just thought that was fantastic. So Yeah.
Sylvia's making her way up here. I just want to say thank you. So many of you were participating in the donations that we received, different supplies that we requested from all of you to go down to the Dominican and to share there and to distribute. And I'll just kind of give you a bit of information on what we were able to do while we were there in terms of those items. So by the end of the week, we had distributed sports equipment, both baseball and soccer equipment, over 500 amounts of school supplies, including notebooks for the kids and pencil cases and all the contents that we were able, you saw it on the pictures, to distribute to the school. We also distributed toys to the kids, and there was so much of an abundance of toys that were sent that not only did we have enough to give to the couple hundred children that were there on the Saturday children's program, but when we did crafts, when they were leaving from the craft, we were able to give them toys there as well, and we still had remaining for the following Saturday session that they were able to keep, and they'll be distributing. They were distributing that as well. Clothing. A lot of clothing came in, and a lot of that is thanks to Sylvia here. The clothing is all being held at the Mission House, except for one box or suitcase per month is taken to a blind lady in the village. And she then resells that for a minimal amount to those in the village. And this is her source of income for herself and how she supports herself. Baby clothes were also given to another ministry that happens just down from the Mission House. This is a ministry that supports families in need, and they bundle up baby clothes and other things just prior to a baby being born in the village. Other things like flip-flops and toothbrushes and other things, I'm sorry if I've missed some things that you donated and contributed. There was so much stuff to take. Those kinds of things were left at the Mission House for an appropriate time when Megan would be there to distribute at other times. I can tell you that through words, those that were given the items were very appreciative of it. Through things that they said, their reactions, their response to when we handed things over to them. But I also just wanted to communicate to you what touched me and what I saw when I was part of many of the various distributions, and I'm handing things over with other members of the team. And it represented to me something so much bigger. It represented to me the community, the unity here in the home church. Every one of you were represented there because there wasn't one thing that we would go to give out that was from one person. It was from a group of different people, whether it was Awana or different individuals that gave things in the basket in the foyer. And I thought of that every time we were handing something out, of how many people were behind this gift. And the unity that represented in our church. And I want to thank you for allowing us to be the arms that physically gave it through the extension of your gifts and your generosity. And yet it goes further than that. It was more than school supplies and clothing. It was kindness. It was generosity. It was respect for them. It was love, and I thank you for allowing us to share that with them on your behalf.
Okay. I must first say thanks to WestJet to allow us to take all those stuff down because it was needed. When you see the little children going around without any clothes or anything, you know how much we are blessed, and they have nothing, but they were so grateful. So my testimony is this. The Great Commission was given to us by God. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, verse 19. And I have accepted this direction as my mission. In Acts 20, verse 35, it said, it's more blessing to give than to receive. I thank God for keeping us healthy, for giving us continuous strength so that we all would contribute to the work of the Lord. And we just hope and pray that we all here will continue giving, because it's a wonderful thing to give. And when you see they appreciate it so much, it's a blessing. Thank you. Thank you.
The video, I haven't seen the whole thing yet. I think it's a bit of a sermon as well from Megan. In the village, there is an internet cafe, and it is an example of microfinancing that has really taken off. There's a young fellow there that decided he wanted to make a better life for himself than his parents, who could only find work cutting cane. And if you cut a ton of cane in a day, you were paid $3. And then the cane company went belly up, and today a new company has come in. The price of sugar is still a problem, but you can grow cane for ethanol. And so there is a bit of work, but much of it is mechanized now, so that's not very helpful. But this young guy decided he wanted to make some money, so as soon as he could, he bought himself a shoeshine kit, and he'd head into town, avoid the police because it's illegal for him to be there and work, and he could make more money than his parents, saved up and bought himself a computer, taught himself how to use it, and very, very bright guy. And he now leases this building that they were able to obtain for him, about 12 by 12, and he has about 8 computers in there that have been donated from everybody from the Rotary Club in Wasega Beach to who knows where. But part of his mandate is he has to teach people how to use it, to do Word and various other programs. And people, when they get a bit of money, can get on Facebook. Prior to that, they were having to go into a town, hire a motor concho to take them in, a motor concho to come back, so it's a big deal for them. So the world is opening up for them. But one of the guys that he hires to work is Freddie, and Freddie's the one who took this video. Evelyn wants to put in a word here that Eddie was too busy to take her English classes, so you can't blame all of his English problems on her. And some of his videography is not the greatest. But it gave him an opportunity to try to produce something as professional as he could, and that kind of thing is taking off. And these guys are very interested in this kind of work, and you'll see what Megan has to offer here.
Out of your work, out of your vacation, out of your school to be able to come here. Ascension Village is a village that's made up of mostly Haitian people. And Haitian people in the Dominican Republic have a really hard time surviving here in the Dominican. Most of them do not have any type of documentation, any birth certificates to prove that they were born. Even though they were born here in the Dominican Republic doesn't recognize them. And as a result, their lives are hard. Without a birth certificate, they can only go to school to grade 8. Without a birth certificate, they can't find jobs. It's illegal for them to work here. Without a birth certificate, they go throughout this country in fear. They can't travel for fear that the tourist police will pick them up and send them back to Haiti. And when I say send them back to Haiti, the majority of them have never been to Haiti before. This is their country. This is where they were born. But because they were given no birth certificate at birth, they're considered a stateless group of people. And so it is that the people here in Ascension are, they're poor, they're hungry, they're trying to find some way to pull themselves out of this tragedy that they were born into and to be able to do something, to be able to make something out of their life. And for a week, we got to come and we got to participate with them in that. And so I just want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to be able to share some of the experiences here in Ascension, some of the experiences that you were here to experience, and also to share some of the things that we're also continuing to do here in Ascension. So come and let's check this place out, and let's check some people. Come on.
The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun.
My name is Brother Johnny, Pastor Johnny Galang. I live in Santo Domingo. I live in Caravaggio Villa Ascension. I have 31 years living here. I have a lot of things who do I don't like. Something doing like I don't like, and something they do I like. The bad thing is when they can't do something for the document for school. When they wanna go to school tomorrow, they wanna do like principal, working hard. That I feel bad. I have a lot of time living here. The time I've been living here, I never found Dominican who treat me bad, do something bad to me. But now, that I feel bad now because I've been living here. Well, the kids don't have people, they can study at school. Just we wait to God if God can find the solution for us to fix everything.
Ça, c'est un grand plaisir pour nous-mêmes, peut-être qu'on a fait une explication avec nous-mêmes, Haïtiens, qui ont vécu dans la République là, qui ont fait un petit problème qui n'a pas enduré, un problème économique, manger, l'école, l'hôpital, tout ça, ça, nous avons un petit problème, ça, peut-être que nous malades, nous avons une bataille qui est difficile, nous avons des véhicules pour nous monter à l'île, nous n'avons pas de papier. Il y a vivre là, il y a une difficulté pour y travailler. Les arrivés quand il y a travail là, chef mette mes souillons, mette en prison, quelque part en Haïti, tout sale, mal occupé, sans l'argent, grand gros problème. Tout ça c'est problème. Oui. Encore, nous-mêmes, étrangers, nous venons plus aide dans les étrangers pour les venir encore, aider nous, de partager ça avec nous. Et nous avons des marchandises, nous aider nous acheter que de nécessité ou pas nécessité, tout ça sont aides liées pour nous. Mais nous demandons pour bon Dieu aider nous, ça a plus d'avantages. Bon Dieu va plus de force, plus de l'amour, pour être capable d'aider nous plus toujours. Bon Dieu accorder des quelques barailles, pour avoir plus de vie. Ok, pour dans le village là, pour que nous vivions là, nous ne sentons pas trop mal. Nous avons des problèmes de travail. Le problème de travail là, c'est ça. Après ça, nous avons des cas où nous dormons. Nous pas ici jeune caillou dormi. C'est pour le travail nous gagner. Nous avons besoin d'une école professionnelle pour que les jeunes capables d'apprendre le travail. Et grand monde aussi, si nous sommes venus, nous capables d'étudier bien. Mais nous faisons dans la terre. Si ça fait dans la terre, le gouvernement ne peut pas papier. C'est difficile pour vous étudier. Pour apprendre le travail, pour apprendre le travail sur la tête. Et grand monde qui n'a pas qu'à dans la terre qui travaille. Quand il y a un grand monde, il va pas être têtu dans la misère. Il y a pas ce grand monde. Il y a ça qui est petit. Et que ça qui est petit, il n'y a pas de capable de faire un petit peu de mieux pour travail dit pour chez Barak.
In Matthew 17:20, Jesus says to his disciples, if you have faith just as small as a mustard seed, you will be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be done. Nothing will be impossible. And historians say that when Jesus said to be able to move this mountain from here to there, that he literally pointed at a specific mountain. And the mountain that he pointed at was Mount Herodian. Mount Herodian was a man-made mountain built by King Herod. This mountain, King Herod decided that he wanted to build and build his palace on top of it. The mountain could be seen from all over Jerusalem so that everyone in Jerusalem, no matter where they were, they would be able to see King Herod's palace and be reminded of his power and his strength. King Herod was a man of injustice. He was a man that was fearful. He was a man that oppressed the Jews of the day. And when Jesus said, you can move mountains, he pointed at the Mount Herodian and said, you can move this mountain if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. And he wasn't literally saying moving the mountain, because who cares if you move a mountain? That doesn't really change anything. It doesn't affect anything. What he was saying is by moving mountains, he's saying you can fight the injustices of this world. You can conquer all that is wrong in this world if you have faith just as small as a mountain. But faith is an action word. It's not a passive word. To have faith is to not sit and pray and hope that it happens. Faith is to actually get involved. Faith is to be involved in moving mountains. Mountain moving is faith in action. Could you imagine when God called Noah and said to Noah to build an ark? But instead, Noah he sat and he prayed and he waited. He waited for God to do something. And then one day the rains come and Noah perishes along with everybody else. God called Noah to build an ark. And it was faith in action that Noah went and he built an ark, not knowing what was going to happen, what was going to be the result. But that's what God called Noah to do. And as a result, history was changed. God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. Could you imagine if Moses didn't do exactly what God called Moses to do, but instead he sat and he waited. He waited and he prayed for something to happen. And if Moses had sat, waited, and prayed for something to happen, perhaps the Israelites never would have been free. Faith in action, mountain moving, is fighting the injustices of the world. And Jesus says that if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we'll be able to accomplish anything. Nothing will be impossible. And I believe that one day, that the injustice that's happening here in the Dominican Republic will be conquered. I believe that one day the people
who so desperately need education. They desperately need jobs. They desperately need the ability to take care of their family. These people who live every day in faith and longing and just hoping that God will be able to provide. I believe that one day that God will call people. 2 years ago, God called Travis and I to come to the Dominican Republic. It was 6 years ago that I was first educated about the needs here in Ascension Village. And God placed on my heart 6 years ago. I honestly believe that one day, maybe, possibly, God was going to call us here, call us to come here. And I believe that faith in action is all about moving mountains, being willing to do something, to allow God to use you, to be able to accomplish, be able to fight the injustices that are happening in this world, be able to bring to this world the heaven that God has called us to bring to this world. When Jesus says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth that is as in heaven." I believe that the problems that exist here in Ascension Village, not just the problems with the Haitians, but there's also so much poverty among the Dominicans, and I believe that these problems can be eradicated. I believe that one day God is going to bring a justice to this village, that these people will have opportunities for job, opportunities for education, opportunities to be able to provide for their families, opportunities to be able to go also into all the world and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe that one day God is going to bring justice to this society. And I'm just thankful. I'm just so thankful that I get to be a part of it. And I'm also thankful that people come alongside us and join us in the adventure. Like when you guys came just a few weeks ago and joined us in the adventure of bringing some dignity to the people here in Ascension.
We need the market to sell. We need group to come to buy for us. It's sometimes we are work up at the money, we don't have money to feed the family. And sometimes group come in at the money, they buy. Why I want to sell? Because I want to help my child. Why do I like people coming here? They can help us with the market. When we sell something, we can help our family, the kids. Also, we can buy what we need. Also, we're happy too because we have the market. Before we don't have the market, our people was running behind the people with the basket. Sometimes when we sell. Now we don't have to run behind people with the basket. We're happy with Megan because Megan talked to his church group about the market to help us with the market. For the future, I'm agree that my mom was poor, my dad was poor. So for me, I don't have more capacity for the kid. I was gonna study, I can't study. I can say yes. I have to continue with the kid. I don't have like too much capacity. Because that can depend on the parents. You know the mom who the kid don't have father. So you are the mom is the father, also is the mother too. So sometimes if I can't find something to buy sandals, sandals up to me, food up to me, clothes up to me, school up to me, everything up to me. If I'm not here tomorrow, I don't know, I don't have more, they don't have more hope. I don't know how the kid gonna live. If I don't have more hope, how the kid gonna live behind? I have been hope one for tomorrow. The rest can done with all the rest. If I have nothing, I cannot for everyone. I don't have more possibility to help all.
When Travis and I moved here 2 years ago, we didn't really know what it was that we were going to be doing. We just knew that we were going to come to Ascension and work in Ascension. We thought that we were going to be on our own. And so we were trying to come up with ideas of what we can do to be able to help
the people here living in Ascension Village in Caro Bayou. And we decided that we wanted to focus on three areas. We wanted to focus on education, trying to keep everyone in school for as long as possible. We wanted to focus on identification. We wanted to make sure that all the Haitian people living here were able to have birth certificates and eventually passports and then hopefully working visas so that they can legitimately work here. And then the third is working on the issue of transportation, trying to make it more affordable to be able to leave Ascension and be able to go find jobs and be able to work at a job and be able to afford to get there and to be able to afford to come back. And what has been amazing is where Travis and I thought that we were coming and doing this on our own, what's amazing is how many people have come and are walking alongside us and partnering with us in trying to move this mountain. We've been able to, since being here, we've been able to purchase 250 school uniforms to make sure that all the children are able to go to school. When we first arrived, we were told that it was impossible to get birth certificates, that it cost an exorbitant amount of money just to get one birth certificate. But we persevered and we asked around and we researched and researched and researched. And then we found a way. A birth certificate, it cost $30. $30 for birth certificate. And so we have now been able to purchase 120 birth certificates for the children here, which means that they'll be guaranteed to be able to go to high school. And then, as well, we've been able to purchase now 12 passports to help those who are ready to go to university or ready to go on to try and get a job. And we've been really excited about that. We've been able to purchase a village truck to help the students that have to go to a far-off town to help them go to school in hopes that when they have to start going to school in Monteano that they don't drop out of school. But we can now provide them a truck that has more affordable transportation to be able to take them to school. We were able to build a computer center that has fantastic internet. We right now have 8 laptops in the computer center, and God has given us this man by the name of Isaiah to be able to run the computer center, and it's just been an amazing thing. Pretty much whatever God puts in our heart of what He wants us to set out and accomplish, God is making it possible. He's making it possible through finding a way. He's making it possible for meeting the finances. He's making it possible for bringing. God is doing amazing things for the people here in Ascension and in Caro Bayou. It's been amazing to see God at work, and it's just been incredible to be allowed to be a part of it, to be allowed to be a part of seeing mountains move in this village. I am just so thankful for what God has done and what God is going to do. The next projects that we're going into is working on jobs, working on providing skills for the people to be able to work, and then providing a way for the people to be able to work in this country. It's going to be an exciting time here. Our goal, it's an audacious goal, but our goal is maybe in 10, 15 years, it'll get to a point where nobody has to come here anymore to help people in Ascension, because they will have the means to be able to take care of themselves. But instead, now the people of Ascension, if they want to, if they choose to, that they can go and they can move mountains and other places as well as they continue to move mountains in their own place.
As we close, I'd like to ask you just to pray for Megan. She's undergoing tests now in hospital in Puerto Plata. They think she's starting to have frontal lobe seizures, maybe similar to what her twin brother had, but it hasn't been as serious at this point. But they've run her through a lot of tests, and everything's been coming up pretty good, except they found out, even though she didn't have any pain, she has a major kidney infection. So she's in hospital at the moment being treated for that and to undergo other tests. But if you would please keep Megan and Travis in your prayers, first for health and secondly for blessing them in their quest to do whatever God wants them to do down there. Bless the productivity that can come
because of that. Let's just close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the generosity of this congregation and allowing our team to go to the Dominican. Thank you for the generosity of the Awana group and the Awana children and the things that they sent down for the Awansa program down there. And they were really excited to get that material as well. And we just ask a blessing on the village, the people in the village, and the people working there as well. And as we go our way today, we just thank you for the blessings that you have showered upon us. And reach our hearts, dear Heavenly Father, so that we can reach out to not only people in the Dominican, but in the other mission work that is being done through World Partners and other agencies around this world. And we just thank you for your goodness and thank you for the direction that you have for us. And we just thank you especially for our Savior Jesus Christ and the love he has given us and the hope he has given us in the future. And we just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.